In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So as I mentioned last week, and as I never get tired of mentioning, every Advent, it's always a jarring experience as a resident of our cultural dispensation to marinate in the readings that the church sets before us during this season. Our cultural dispensation suggests that we should have good cheer, that we should be warm and fuzzy, but then the church tells us to think about the apocalypse. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. So says the Lord Jesus in the second lesson today. And it sounds a bit like America in 2023. I exaggerate slightly. I hear, in fact, all the time from people and speak to people all the time about how unhinged our world seems to be becoming, seemingly in every dimension. And we really do seem to be barreling towards some kind of catastrophe. The national debt, the character of our leadership class, our various deep social problems, our much discussed and seemingly insoluble political divisions, rising rates of crime and mental illness, confusions about sex and gender, the conditions of our cities, a major war on the European continent for the first time in many decades, now another war in the Middle East, just this past week, the glaring and very public refusal of the presidents of Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, and MIT to denounce Jewish genocide, calls for it on their campus, and on and on and on. And what, by the way, is up with the Postal Service? Kate and I can't even use the Postal Service to send things back and forth to and from Bermuda anymore. Last year, it took 3.5 months for me to receive a birthday card. Not only did I not receive it on my birthday, I didn't even receive it in my birth season. I could have gotten here faster, I think, during the colonial era. Obviously, that's not an apocalyptic problem, but it is emblematic of the kind of metastasizing systemic malfunction that I think we can all sense in our world. We can't seem to fix things as a society. It feels like entropy has set in morally, managerially, politically, economically, as I say, in every dimension. In today's second lesson, the Lord uses the words distress, perplexity, and fear. And those are all apt. I admit to being often distressed and perplexed, and sometimes fearful, especially when I think about the kind of world that George Tucker is likely to inherit in 20 or 30 years or whatever. In fact, though the principal point of today's lessons is that allowing this fear, perplexity, and distress to get the better of us is to admit spiritual failure. All of these increasingly inescapable facts about our society and our culture, and the even worse things that they may portend concerning those things that are coming on the earth, as the Lord says, all of those things should actually be goads to hope for the spiritually attuned. Jesus says that all of these distressing things really mean that the kingdom of God, and therefore our redemption, draweth nigh, is nigh at hand, he says. And that, he says, is a reason for us to look up, to raise up our heads. In short, all of this distressing stuff about our world is a reason to have hope. And hope does not disappoint us, as Scripture says elsewhere. But again, it is the spiritually attuned person that will have hope in the midst of and because of these perplexing, distressing, and even fearful things of our world. So the question is, how do I become a spiritually attuned person so that I may have hope? And for that, we can turn to the first lesson, where St. Paul, in fact, uses the word hope 3 times. The Holy Scriptures, he says, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And he goes on to identify God as the God of hope. and the source of the patience and the comfort that God mediates to us through his holy word. Here's the thing, though. This patience, comfort, and hope that God gives to us through the mediation of Holy Scripture, we can only receive if we actually engage with Holy Scripture. If we, in the words of the Collect, hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest those words. That's precisely how we come, by patience and comfort of God's holy word, to embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, as the Collect says. So what's the point of all this? What's it trying to say to us? I think it's saying, look, we all know, or we should know, that our world is screwed up and that it's foolish to hope in worldly things because they're transient and they're ephemeral. They're always disintegrating, passing away. Fortunes change, circumstances change, people get sick, stock markets crash, wars break out, accidents happen. Life is uncertain. We all grow old and we die. Everything is always in flux, including our very selves, our bodies. Yet worldly things, nevertheless, have a seductive kind of power over us. We, all of us, individually and as a society, I think, are so easily and thoughtlessly taken in by the world's false promises. We trust in power, we trust in money, we trust in ourselves, we trust in our government, we trust in technology, we trust in progress, we trust in our military, we trust in the long-term returns from market-indexed funds. Even the very church of God, against which the gates of hell will not prevail, even the very church of God has been much corrupted by hope in such false promises. If you pay attention to such matters, you see everywhere the leaders of the church conforming to the methods and the ideals and the manners and the morals of our present age through fear of becoming irrelevant or being on the wrong side of history. The danger, of course, is that a church that is relevant on the world's terms becomes irrelevant on the terms of heaven. Today's lesson and collect, and in fact the whole season of Advent itself, are a reminder that everything is passing away. Todo se pasa, as St. Teresa of Avila put it. Everything in this world is passing away. So don't attach yourself to any of it by hope or by trust. Don't trust in any of it. Don't hope in any of it. You're bound to be disappointed. And worse, you open yourself up to the distress, the perplexity, and the fear that are corrupting and that our Lord mentions in the second lesson. And you close yourself off to the possibility of a blessed and durable hope. And worst of all, you place yourself in danger of passing away with all the ephemeral nonsense that you foolishly trusted in. Let me tell you a short story. When I was younger, I visited Egypt with my grandmother, and the pyramids were incredibly impressive, especially the Great Pyramid of Giza, built almost 5,000 years ago by the pharaoh Khufu. But they are crumbling. All the facing material has been stolen over the millennia, and the limestone is slowly eroding, returning to the desert sand. More to the point, Pharaoh Khufu is long gone. His kingdom is long gone. His civilization is long gone. We know almost nothing about him, except that he built this very impressive, crumbling monument to himself. No one knows what happened to his body. No one knows what he looked like. We don't even know exactly how to pronounce his name. Jesus said that the earth and the heavens shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the divine word, that by patience and comfort you may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which God has given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.